Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
At some points, it seemed as if Jesse White would keep going forever. He even said he was retiring before and didn't. But this time, the Illinois Secretary of State, Jesse White, is not running for re-election, and a crowded race is shaping up for his job, a job that may be more powerful than you realize. This weekend, we'll kick off our coverage and conversation with hardworking candidate Pat Dowell. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. As Alderwoman of Chicago's 3rd Ward, Pat Dowell may not have the highest name recognition yet among the candidates for Secretary of State, but she's traveling Illinois and talking principles and policies to distinguish herself. Pat Dowell's been a member of the Chicago City Council since 2007, and she now heads the Council Budget Committee. She was a Chicago Deputy Planning Commissioner before she moved into the field of elected officials. Alderman Dowell has been a prominent voice on issues like equity and city contracting and a champion for community development, among other things. She's also a strong proponent of transparency in government. Pat Dowell is a longtime Bronzeville resident, and she has an adult son. And welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Craig. I'm pleased to be back with you today. Just less than 24 hours, I saw you down at the city council meeting.
And I will see you in another 24.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes. but at least that's while we're recording this. But let's talk about first to ask the obvious question, because we're talking about the Secretary of State's race and in a campaign related interview. I do have to ask why you decided to run for office when there are so many easier jobs, though maybe not as much fun.
Well, you know, Craig, I have been a public servant all of my life. I would say that's been a consistent theme in my career. And, I was raised by Norman Dowell, who was the janitor, and Catherine Dowell, who was the nurse. And being an only child, they instilled in me the values of hard work, excellence, integrity, and service, really. And I want to follow in their footsteps and have followed in their footsteps. They were both active in either the PTA or community or the block club or some church committee. And I watched them. And so all of my life, I've been about helping communities, helping marginalized people, families. And when I looked at this particular race and realized that Secretary White was not going to run anymore, that he was actually not going to seek election statewide, and looked at the candidates, I felt that I had the most consistent and genuine public service background to deal with the many thousands and millions of people that have to deal with the Secretary of State's office. The Secretary of State's office, to me, is like the aldermanic office. It is the agency that is closest to the people of the state of Illinois. And as such, I thought that my interests and my skill sets align most clearly with that particular office. So I decided to run.
Now, a Chicago alderperson, as the state now wants to designate you all, isn't necessarily as well known as, say, a former state treasurer or even a Chicago city clerk. How does running a ward office and staffing and those kinds of things translate into running what is essentially the largest state agency if you're talking about number of people?
Well, the key is good customer service, making sure that the needs of the residents, statewide are addressed efficiently and effectively through the Secretary of State's office. You know, you juggle in an aldermanic office a number of different activities during any given day. And the Secretary of State's office is no different. It's not just about license plates and stickers. The Secretary of State's office is the librarian for the state. It runs literacy programs. It has one of the best organ donation programs in the country. So there are many layers to the Secretary of State's office, and a public servant has to be able to make sure that every element of that office works well for the people that need it, the businesses that need it, the not-for-profits that need it, and Alderman is uniquely positioned to pay attention to all of those services all at one time.
I want to talk about some of those services. Obviously, the driver's license facilities are the ones that people are the most familiar with. And, you know, for a time, the lines at the driver's license facilities were getting shorter, and things seemed more efficient, not perfect, but certainly not maddening as they used to consistently be. The pandemic brought big changes and huge lines, understandably. But I think, and, you know, I even noticed on my way into City Hall today that I pass a driver's license facility and the lines are still there, even as we're out of the pandemic. What concerns you about the arc that we have seen and the fact that these problems are still there?
You know, I've talked to a number of residents throughout the state in my travels who lament standing in these long lines. I was talking to a woman yesterday who was in the line at 7:30. By 9 o'clock, she still had not entered into the facility and became so frustrated that she just left and decided not to take care of the business that she needed to take care of. What I have been advocating for, or will be advocating for, and I put out a policy piece on this last week, is for some kind of what I would call a personal Secretary of State dashboard, similar to what you might know with online banking, where you have a particular password and a username that's tied to your account. In this case, it would be tied to your state ID or driver's license, where you could enter into the virtual world and take care of some of the business at the Secretary of State's office, whether it be renewing your license, or you want to be an organ donor, or you want to also purchase your iPass credentials. All of these things could be done like we do currently with online banking. So my motto is online and not in line. I think that that should be the focus coming out of COVID for the Secretary of State's office. We have to learn how to do government in a different way, to bring services to the people. And sometimes it's online, and sometimes it means taking it to where people are.
How much would it take to change the website for the Secretary of State's office? I mean, there's some things that you can do right now. I routinely renew my license, license plate stickers, for example, because I don't want to have to stand in line, although they're better and they let seniors go and have their own line. But you know, in all seriousness, it's already doing some things that way. So how much of a change would it be to expand that to something like an online banking experience?
Well, I think it needs to be more easy, an easy way to take care of some services. For example, you wear glasses, I wear glasses. When we have to renew our driver's license. You literally have to go inside the facility to look through the, you know, the eye tester. And this could be something that could be done online. There are systems where you can have a vision test online, or you can go to your optometrist or some eye store and get a vision test, and then hand in that information online where you don't have to go into the facility. So I think we're looking for examples of where we can include those elements in a new system that is not just a billboard, but it's actually interactive with people who want to access a whole host of services, not just in the Secretary of State's office, for example. You might want to access information on unemployment. So a link could be, you know, could take you to the unemployment office at the state level to take care of some business or get some information.
What are some of the other things that you might want to see changed in the office? And I mean, obviously, it has a wide berth. For example, is there anything that strikes you about the way the office cooperates with municipalities, for example, who either might be trying to collect money in, or it might be going back and forth with law enforcement on suspension of licenses? Is there more communication necessary? What are the things that you want to look into or are seeing problems with already?
Well, I would like to have more communication, for example, with the Department of Corrections, so that ex-offenders or returning citizens coming out of, you know, coming out of our jail system can more easily access the identification cards and the driver's license that they need to move back into our communities. You can't live these days without having, you know, a driver's license or a state ID. And I think that the communication between the Secretary of State's office and the Department of Corrections, for example, could get better. I am also looking at, for example, the Secretary of State has a police force that monitors the buildings that in Springfield. And when you look at the demographics of that police force, it does not reflect the demographics of the state in race or in gender. And these are examples of communications between, for example, the state police and the Secretary of State's office, where we would make some changes to see more diversity in those ranks. I have traveled in places where the large populations, for example, in Alton, Illinois, which does not have any kind of Secretary of State's office, those people now have to travel to communities outside of their communities where the population is, you know, 27,000 or more. They need to have access to the Secretary of State's office. So I look at working with the state legislature and the executive office to try to figure out locations that are not being serviced. So those are just some of the things that I'm committed to looking at, Clay.
Now, you mentioned the that the office oversees libraries and literacy. Are there new things that you would want to do with that, or some old things that you might want to spruce up?
I am very interested in making the literacy division of the Secretary of State's office more robust. I want to see more public-private partnerships brought into the communities to help people who struggle with literacy. There's almost 2 million people in the state of Illinois who struggle with that. And public-private partnerships, such as ones that I've seen in my own ward, such as Real Men Read, that develop partnerships with our local schools. and libraries to read to young children to get information before adults so that they're more interested in learning how to read, how to learn another language, people who don't speak English, for example, who are need language access and understanding the English language, whether they speak Spanish or Polish or Korean or French. Those are things that I would like to see made more robust in the literacy program. In addition to giving out more grants to local organizations to help them do the work of providing literacy programs in communities throughout the state, whether they're rural or urban areas. There are always people that need that kind of assistance, and this would be something that I would focus on through the state. The public-private partnerships are key because government can't do everything, but private organizations, corporations can augment the money that the state puts in for these services. And this is something that I have experience doing, and I actually love to make those partnerships happen.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore. My guest is Chicago Alderwoman Pat Dowell, who is a candidate for Illinois Secretary of State. I want to touch on one other area of the office itself, and that is that, at various times, I think the office has been more focused on or aggressive about, for example, younger drivers and making sure that they are learning the right way. And maybe there are concerns about older drivers and making sure that they don't keep driving. Any thoughts or ideas about anything that might need to be looked at in that area?
No, I know for older drivers, I'm interested in making it easier for them to access their renewals where they don't have to do it annually and they don't have to pay for it at such a high fee. I'm very interested in that. And as far as younger people, I'm very interested in making sure that they are registered to vote through their provision of their driver's license, a Thai driver's license provision and information and safety training to the point of getting their voter registration. So those are two areas that I'm interested in focusing on. I think I would like to make the office attractive for internships for young people, so that they have an opportunity to see how government works, to see the elements of the Secretary of State's office, to learn about mandatory insurance, how to safely drive, things like organ donation and all the library system. Things that they probably would not see within their various communities. And I think this could be done throughout the state.
I want to turn to another topic that we couldn't talk about the Secretary of State's office without addressing, and that is the area of ethics. It is an area that has been a problem in the past. Are you satisfied that the integrity of the system at this time is solid? I mean, as a provider of essential credentials, among other things, past problems have involved how people get them and whether they're really qualified.
Right. I think that Secretary White has done a tremendous job of taking the stain of corruption and graft away from that office. Prior to him, we did have problems with that. And I think that's an area that we cannot go back to. We have to have a Secretary of State's office that runs with integrity and with ethics. And I think when you look at the candidates across the race, you have to look at their personal backgrounds, whether or not they tell the truth, you know, are they feeling, are there any ethics concerns with them as an elected official or in their personal life? I think these are all things that the voters have to consider. And I'm putting myself forward as someone who meets all of the standards of ethics, something I've pushed for as a city council member and something that I will continue to push for within the Secretary of State's office.
Obviously, the buck stops with the Secretary of State, him or herself, but the Secretary of State's office manages a lot of employees. How can managers make sure that those ethical standards are being met across the board when you have so many people who are in positions where they could be tempted? I wonder if it's even possible to keep an eye on all of them.
Well, I think you lead by example, like Secretary White has done. You know, you have to be a leader who has high standards for ethics and who has surrounded themselves at the executive level with people who also have high standards. And then I think you make sure that all of the managers and the people below them are involved in the life of the office and where ethics is discussed, where ethics is taught. Just like in city council, you have to take an ethics test every year. The staff below the aldermen take that same test. City employees take that test if they're at a certain level of salary. So these are things that should be the focus of a Secretary of State. And as the leader of that department, I would focus on making sure that we have high standards.
I want to talk a little bit about the race itself. Are people as interested as they should be in the Secretary of State's race, especially because one person has held the office for so long? It hasn't been as much of a contest as it is now. But are people showing the kind of interest in it that you would like to see, or are people taking it for granted in some ways?
You know, I think it's still early, Craig. You know, the election was pushed back from March of 2022 to June of 2022, which gives all the candidates more of an opportunity to get their message out. But as I have traveled within Chicago and the county of Cook and in downstate Illinois, I have seen that people are getting excited about the race. I mean, first of all, people can't believe that Secretary White is actually not going to be in this race. And once you get past that, then people begin to focus on the office. They start to tell you about some of the challenges they have with dealing with the Secretary of State's office, or things that they would like to see that are innovative. So I think as we move forward, interest will grow.
Now, one of the candidates in this race, former State Treasurer Alexi Giannoulias, has far and away raised the most money so far, and he's using it to get the word out. I'm not sure that a couple of days go by without.
You know, but money is not the message, right? And I feel that if I can raise the money to be viable, and my team believes that we'll be able to do that, we'll be competitive and viable within this record, I think, is strong. And I believe I'm the best candidate in the race if I'm able to get the message out about what I have accomplished in my own ward in the city of Chicago and what I am planning to do at the Secretary of State's level. So I'm not scared by the fact that one of the candidates has over $2 million in the bank account right now. We have to have a good message and be a candidate of quality in order to win this race.
As you go through this, are you finding that your name recognition downstate, because you haven't run statewide before, is going to be a factor? And how much harder do you have to work below I-80?
No doubt, Craig. I'm going to have a, you know, several sets of gym shoes in order to make this race a viable and competitive race. You know, we started out early. We traveled downstate already. We have more trips planned. You know, working with recommendations that we've received from people who are, you know, stakeholders in those locations. We're making connections, getting our name out there, visiting. All of that will become more prominent as we move forward in time.
And I have to ask it. I have to ask one aldermanic type question, or more city council oriented. But I'm not going to try and put you on the spot too much, but I think people are starting to see the city council devolve into this kind of brinksmanship and people using tactics to get around each other or past each other. And there's been perhaps more animosity than we've seen in a while. What should people make of this new, certainly not rubber stamp city council? If it ever was, it certainly isn't now. And, you know, should we be concerned?
Well, I think this is uncomfortable because it's new. People are usually expect a vote to go 47-3 or something like that. But we have within our council various caucuses that have different points of view. We've got a Democratic Socialist caucus. We've got a Veterans caucus. An LGBTQBT caucus, the Black caucus, the Latino caucus, all have different positions. And I think what you see is democracy in the making, sausage making, which is not a pretty sight sometimes. And you have a new mayor who is developing her sea legs in ways of collaborating with the city council. And it has not been easy.
What's your outlook for, you know, very briefly, what's your outlook for getting better?
I think more collaboration and talking to each other outside of the council, where we work closely together to come to consensus around certain things earlier. You know, these last minute compromises and last minute initiatives don't bode well for council procedures. And so I think the more that we begin earlier and have a real sense of collaboration and respect for our respective roles, ours as the legislative body, the mayor's office and administration is the executive body, things will get better.
Thank you so much. That is Chicago Alderwoman Pat Dowell, candidate for Illinois Secretary of State. Thank you for spending the half hour with us. And to our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or to hear it again, please visit our website at wbbmnewsradio.com. You can also find our podcast on odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.